In our time, the way the gospel is often presented to people is it's all about what a great benefit it is to you, which of course it is a benefit, but it's all about benefits in this life. Your Best Life Now is the title of one book by a local pastor of some notoriety. And it's all about what God can do for you, and isn't it great to be a Christian? It's a wonderful life to be a Christian. But what we hear in the gospel today is that it costs to be a Christian, and it costs quite a bit. In a passage in the Gospel of Luke where Christ makes some similar comments, it says that if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now the fathers, when they comment on this, are quick to point out that what Christ is saying is not that we literally need to hate our parents any more than we literally need to hate our own life to this extent that we would want to kill ourselves. Suicide, of course, is a sin that the church teaches against very strongly, and loving your parents, honoring your parents, is one of the commandments that we're taught that we have to obey. So what does it mean to say that we have to hate our parents, we have to hate our wife, we have to hate our children? What that means is that in comparison with where we put Christ, it's as if we hate them. And especially when it comes to people who actually stand in the way of our salvation. Most of us fortunately don't have this problem, but when you read the lives of the saints, and certainly you've probably known some people, there are people in their lives that have actually tried to steer them away from the gospel, people who they otherwise love, but they had to not go along with that. They had to reject the instruction of their parents, or they had to reject the what their wife was trying to get them to do because they had to remain faithful to Christ. And if we're not prepared to do that, if we're not prepared to even lay down our own lives for the gospel's sake, we can't be Christ's disciple. That's what it means to bear the cross, to be prepared to die, to be prepared to suffer, and to actually endure all the suffering that comes along with living a truly pious and Christian life in this world. St. Paul says that all who had lived godly in this present generation, or in this present day, or present age actually, will suffer persecution. That's not one of those promises that you see as a magnet to put on your refrigerator that you claim, you know, in the name of Jesus every day, but it's a reality nonetheless that if you want to live a godly life, you're going to suffer persecution. It may not be as extreme as what happened in the Soviet Union to Christians who endured for the faith. It's a much more subtle form that we encounter in our culture. But if you're really living for Christ, people are going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you. They're going to think that you're weird and you're strange, and you have to be prepared to endure that, or you're not worthy to be a disciple of Christ. God has to be put before all else, and if you're not prepared to do that, then you're not prepared to really be a Christian. And then Christ goes on to say, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish it." The point that Christ is making is not that maybe some of us just don't have the ability to really be a Christian. The question is whether we're really willing to pay the cost of what it means to be a Christian, because we all have that ability by God's grace to do that. God will give us the power to pay that price, but the question is whether we're really prepared to pay it. And again, if we're not prepared to really be a Christian. And then he says, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth a delegation and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, when you hear this last parable that Christ tells here about the two kings and the one king only having 10,000 men questioning whether he has the ability to face 20,000 men. You might say, well, obviously he needs to go send that delegation because he's not going to be able to whoop 20,000 men with 10,000 men. But that's actually not the point that's being made here. The fathers tell us that the king with the 20,000 men is sin. And the question is whether we have the courage and the willingness to go to war. And the point is, if you're not prepared to do it, you might as well just go ahead and surrender now if you're not prepared to go all the way. But you have to be prepared to fight that fight. Are we prepared to give up the sins that we love and choose to hate them? Or would we prefer to make a shameful peace with those sins? That's the question that's being asked. Do we have the power with 10,000 men to overcome 20,000 men? Well, Joshua told the people of Israel, "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, so he hath promised you." So if one man can chase 1,000, 10,000 can whip 20,000. If you have the ability by God's grace to whip that army, you don't have it in your own strength, and if you try to do it, you're going to fail. But if you're trusting in God's mercy and you're constantly looking to him and you're giving God everything that you have, you're willing to go all the way, you're willing to pay any price you have to follow Christ, he will give you the ability. The Proverbs tell us, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." To be a Christian is to be as bold as a lion against sin, to face that spiritual struggle and to look, no matter how difficult it may seem for us to do, at the sins in our life and to wage that struggle every day. And if we continue to do it, and when we fail, we pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off, ask for God's mercy, and continue that struggle, God will give us the victory. Amen.